Let's take a look at a passage that, quite honestly, is one of the more familiar passages you're going to find in Scripture. I mean, this passage that we're going to read, if you call yourself a faith person, or especially if you call yourself a faith preacher, I guarantee you at some point in time, you're going to get to this passage. Because if you don't preach or teach along the lines of this particular passage, at some point in time in your life, there is no way you can call yourself a faith preacher. Same way with over there, Mark chapter 11. You know, if you don't preach on those verses over there, you can't call yourself a faith preacher. So let's take a look at some famous faith preacher verses here. James chapter 2, verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace and be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding, you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers, and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Boy, has that passage been preached and preached and preached. How many of you have ever been in services and you've heard that one laid on you? Well, let's take a look again. Let's start in verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace and be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful for the body, what does it profit? Even so, if it hath not works, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So we get in the verse in the services, and we hear this preached. Faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. Well, you can't deny that's what Scripture says. It's right there, more than once. Faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. And so, the preacher stand up, and they hit us with this for about 45 minutes. Faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. Then they take up the offering. By that time, you're so motivated. Yeah, yeah. Faith without works is dead. All right. Faith without works is dead. Empty that thing out there because faith without works is dead. After all, isn't that what they told us? Faith without works is dead. So therefore, based upon the way this is preached, or maybe we should put it like this, based upon the way we choose to hear it, faith without works is dead. So, it's my responsibility, since I call myself a faith person, it is therefore my responsibility to have corresponding works that line up with my faith. So, what are you using your faith for? Are you using your faith for finances? Well, who isn't, right? Yes, that's me, preacher. I'm using my faith for finances. Well, you know, faith without works is dead. That's right. So that's why I'm going to empty out my checking account and empty out my wallet today when you receive the offering, because I am a man of faith and I know that faith without works is dead. And I know that my God supplies all of my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And I know that since faith without works is dead, I better act upon my faith for finances by putting it in the plate, because that's the work to demonstrate my faith that God's going to bless me. Because faith without works is dead. What are you using your faith to believe for? Well, bless God, I'm believing God for the healing of my body. Well, faith without works is dead. That's right. Praise God. Faith without works is dead. And even though I can barely get out of bed, even though I am so sick, I can't keep anything on my stomach, even though I've got so much pain and I can barely move, even though all of those things are happening in my body, bless God, I'm not going to a doctor. I'm not taking any pills. Because faith without works is dead. A few weeks later, we all come to the funeral home, stand around and ask each other, just don't understand how this could happen. How could God just let them die like that? They were trusting Him. They were demonstrating their great faith. Because you know, faith without works is dead. You mean just like Joe here? What are you using your faith for? Whatever it is you're using your faith for, you must have corresponding works that line up with the thing you're using your faith for in order to demonstrate that you do have faith, because faith without works is dead. Well, we hear these messages, and there's a tendency to become very wrapped up in a concept we perceive is being taught. Now, in some cases, where I'm headed on this, in some cases, yeah, it may be taught the way I'm going. But in many cases, a lot of the faith preaching and teaching that I've heard, it's not been mistaught, it's been misheard. It's been presented in the right way, but people have taken it and turned it around, twisted it to mean something that it doesn't mean. Now, let's find out what. Faith without works is dead. Says it right here. Don't you know, old vain man, faith without works is dead. Okay. Well, I don't want to be vain, because vain sounds like it's somehow connected with pride, and we know pride goes before destruction and all this other, and I don't want to get messed up. So therefore, I shall not be vain. I shall put works to my faith, because faith without works is dead, and I want everybody to know that I don't have dead faith. I really got to do something, because if I don't put works to my faith, then I'm not going to impress God enough that I believe Him and that I trust Him, and He's not going to turn around then and bless me. So therefore, God, I hope you're watching this, because I'm going to show you some works that's going to prove beyond the shadow of a doubt I've got faith. Now, that's how most people look at it in the body of Christ. So we begin to produce works that we say line up with our faith. If it comes to the area of finances, we try to find something we can do that proves beyond any shadow of a doubt, especially to God, that we've got faith. When it comes to healing, I want to prove to God, I believe His Word. I'm taking Him at His Word. That's why I'll take my glasses off my face, throw them on the ground, and stomp them into dust. Because faith without works, stomp, 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 is dead. And I want God to know that I trust Him. So what happens is, we get caught up in the works, but we leave the faith out. We develop a mindset that says, by my works, I produce faith. If I do these things, step out of the boat onto the water, give. If I do these things, that's going to show I've got faith in God. That's the thing that's going to cause my faith to produce. Faith without works is dead, and so if I don't do the works, there won't be any production of things in my life. And so, you have ministers, along with other people as well, but you have ministers, you'll have evangelists who will go out and they'll sign the dotted line to borrow money to buy buildings. Pastors do the same thing. Go out and sign the dotted line to buy a lot of property to put up a big building. Because after all, faith without works is dead. And I'm believing that God's going to supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Therefore, I'll go out there and I'll sign the contract to purchase this building, to buy that land, to purchase this building, to prove to God that I've got faith in Him. I know that He's called me to this particular kind of a ministry, and I know what He wants me to do. And so therefore, I'm going to go out there and sign this contract. I'm going to put myself in $7.5 million worth of debt to prove God I trust Him. And the belief, the twisted, convoluted belief along with this is, if I do that work, God will bless it. If I get that loan and buy that property and that building, God's going to bless it because I'm demonstrating my faith in Him. Faith without works is dead. So here, God, are all of my works. Aren't you excited about this, Father? Now bless it! And we got the whole thing reversed. Fact is, we really don't understand what this passage is telling us. We focus on the works. I got to do this, I got to do that to prove that I believe God, to prove that I trust Him, to prove that I really am a faith man. Because, you know, faith without works is dead. And since I'm a faith person, I sure can't appear to have dead faith to all of my buddies. Especially if I'm a faith preacher. So, we get involved in doing works, and doing works, and doing works that we believe proves and demonstrates that we don't have dead faith. When the truth is, you got a lot of people doing stuff, but they have absolutely no faith whatsoever when it comes to their entire life. See, faith without works is dead. I want you to think along this line with me here. Let me rephrase it this way. A job without a paycheck is stupid. How many of you are going to keep putting in 40, 50 hours a week for no paycheck? I mean, you go in and, you know, they hire you. You're under the impression you get paid every 2 weeks. 2 weeks goes by. You go to the boss and you say, what time today do we get our paychecks? And the boss looks at you and says, Your what? The paychecks, you know, for the past 2 weeks worth of labor? The money? The boss just looks and says, ha, boy, are you stupid. We don't pay you around here. You just come in and work. So wait a minute, let me get this right. I come in, I work 80 hours, and I don't get a dime for it? No. Actually, you don't get a penny for it. You don't get anything. Well, I don't think I like... How many of you hang around a job like that? Do you think you might go find someplace else to work? At least they give you a dime. Just like a job without a paycheck is stupid, faith without works is dead. Let me ask you something. When you're working that job, who produces the paycheck? You or the boss? The boss. Am I right? Okay. So therefore, you've got a job, and as a result of having that job, a paycheck is produced in your life. Likewise, if you have faith, that faith is going to be the thing that produces the works, not you. And this is where people mess up on that. They think, if I don't do something to demonstrate my faith, then I don't have faith. God says, no, you don't understand it. If you had faith, the faith would automatically produce the works. See? When you're living by faith, you don't have to sit around and try and think of something to do to demonstrate the fact that you have faith. When you're living by faith, you're going to produce something in your life because that something is going to be a byproduct of the faith that you have. If you get out there and you do works, and you think, well, these works, you know, these works are the things that this is going to demonstrate the fact that I have faith and that my faith is not dead, that my faith is alive. I will do these things that I call works, and these things that I call works are going to therefore cause something to be manifested in my life. If it's money, my work is giving, giving, giving. Therefore, giving is the work of my faith, and because I've been giving, 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 I then am going to receive something in return. And God says, no, you don't understand. You've got the whole thing reversed. You're looking for something to do to prove that you have faith. Wherein, in reality, if you had faith, you just have works being demonstrated automatically and you wouldn't have to try and search for something to do to prove to me what I already know. God doesn't judge your faith by your works. He judges your faith by what's inside you. You see what I'm saying? Works, now listen to this, works will not produce faith. Works will not produce faith. Faith comes by hearing and by hearing the Word of God. And you build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So, works aren't going to produce your faith. And you can stomp your glasses into powder. You can do all these crazy things that a lot of folks do that they claim are demonstrations of their faith. You don't have to go around telling people, I'm demonstrating my faith, when you're demonstrating real faith. Because the end result of your faith is going to be the demonstration to the people around you, you've been living by faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know, I've heard people say something along these lines, and maybe you've heard it too. Well, I just don't understand it. You know, here I am serving God. I'm doing all these things that I thought He wanted me to do. And it's just like, I just can't seem to figure it out. Well, you know, my faith failed me. You ever heard anybody say anything like that? My faith failed me. That's impossible. Listen to me. It is impossible for faith to fail you. It is impossible for faith to fail you. I don't care what doctrines you've heard in the past. I don't care who you've heard preach it. I am telling you now, according to the Bible, it is impossible for faith to fail you. You say, well, how can you say that? How can you be so sure about that? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and God's Word doesn't fail.
Amen.
Therefore, if my faith has come by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, then my faith can't fail. Do you understand? It's impossible for faith to fail because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, and God's Word cannot fail. The only time that my, quote, faith will fail is if it is when I have tried to create some kind of emotional feeling on the inside of me that I call faith, and I act on those emotions, and then I fail.
Right.
Works will fail. Faith will not fail. Ever. Ever. Because God's Word will not fail, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The more I get, what he's telling you in here in this, one of the things he's telling you in this, faith without works is dead. He's saying, look, you can stand up and you can talk about your faith all you want. But if your faith isn't producing anything in your life, your faith is dead. He's not talking about your physical works. He's talking about the works of faith. When it comes to your finances, you know, finances and healing are so easy to use as a reference because most people in the body of Christ have struggled with those issues at some point in time. When it comes to your finances, if you say, well, I'm using my faith to believe God for more finances. Well, what does that mean? You drive around in your car all day hoping money's going to show up? You sit at home watching reruns of Beverly Hillbillies waiting for some angel to show up at your front door with a bucket of gold coins? What does that mean? I'm using my faith to believe for more finances. What does that mean? Truth is, most people in the body of Christ, if they had to answer that, they really wouldn't know how to answer that. And so they get over into things like, well, you know, I'm believing that God's going to, you know, supply all of my needs. I believe that God's going to take care of me. Wonderful. I want you to look in this passage again in James, because he makes a real sarcastic jab. Verse 19. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. In other words, well, good for you. Even the devils believe that. And then he throws something in at the end of that. He says, and tremble. In other words, he's saying, hey, the devil's got enough sense to show a degree of respect before God, because they know he could wipe them out just like that. And then, in verse 20, he continues with his little barbs. But wilt thou know, O vain man? In other words, what big deal? You're born again. You're baptized in the Holy Ghost. You can speak in tongues. Well, ooh, I'm James, and I'm really impressed. Even the devils know about these things. They know there's one God. They've got enough sense to tremble when they think about what he could do. And then you stand up and try to impress everybody by telling them, I have faith. Let me tell you what faith is not. One of the things faith is not. Faith is not standing up before a crowd of 25,000 people and twisting God's word in such a way that you motivate them emotionally to give tens upon hundreds of thousands of dollars in an offering and then go to the next meeting and talk about how God blessed you. You just manipulated the crowd. That's all. That's not faith. Anybody could do that. You don't think so? You ever been to one of those motivational seminars? They bring those guys in from all over the country. You can do it! You can do it! Just envision yourself making all of those sales, being the greatest manager in the world. You can do it! You can do it! Sis, boom, ba! You can do it! And the people... How many have ever been to those? And the people sit there and they listen. I'm not talking church stuff, all right? I'm just talking about, you know, the motivate, the Zig Ziglar, and I'm not trying to say bad things about him. I'm just as a point of contact reference. And the people sit in the crowds and they're like, yeah, we can do it. No, we can do it. We can do it. Woohoo, we can do it. Yes, sirree, we can do it. And then they take a break and like ants at a picnic going for the cherry pie. It's over to the tape tables. Hey, listen, you think some of these preachers charge too much for their tapes? It's 10, 15, 20, 50 times more with the same number of tapes. I've been there. I've seen it. And these guys go out and they whip out the plastic. I don't care. Just give me them all. And it's like, I'll be back for the rest in a few minutes. Take us out of the car. Because I can do it, I can do it, I can do it. And those motivational speakers are raking in millions of dollars doing that. Hardly anybody benefits from those meetings either. They're on a cloud for a couple of weeks, then boom, down they go. And it's back, same old, same old. Faith is not manipulating people to get something done. James says, you can stand up and you can talk about your faith all you want. You can stand up and talk about the fact, yeah, I got it, I made it, look at me, oh, I'm the man of faith. Yes, sirree, I am, I'm the man of faith. And he says, hey, who do you think you are? You say you've got faith. Show me what your faith has produced in your life. Show me what your faith has done for you. Faith without works is dead. Perfect example is when you got born again. I came to a place in my life where I knew it's heaven or hell, all right? Here's a choice. God or the devil, one of the two. So I made a decision. I want to be born again. Now, I claimed to have faith that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. That faith produced the work of me calling out to Him to be born again. I can manipulate somebody into saying those words, did Jesus come into my heart? It means nothing. Absolutely nothing. If they don't have the faith associated with it. My faith believed. That little bit of faith I had, the only real kind of faith that I had in my lost nature was to realize that Jesus Christ was Son of God, Savior, Redeemer, and all the rest of that. That faith that was in me produced the work of calling out to Him. The result is I'm born again. See? That same principle carries over in your entire born-again life. You can talk about, I'm faith man. Look at me, I got a cape and it's got a big F on the back. Faith man, that's me. And James says, put up or shut up. You say you've got faith. Give me testimonies of how your faith has produced in your life. Because I'll stand here and I will tell you what my faith has produced in my life. Faith without the works that faith produces, he's dead. So go ahead, say you have faith. Bottom line is, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. If you're not hearing and hearing by the Word of God, faith isn't coming. And you can say you're a faith man all you want. You don't even have enough faith to believe that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. That's Scripture, that's God's Word, that's the only way. So what God said. You build yourself up on your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. That's it. So if you're not praying in the Holy Ghost, guess what? You're not building yourself up on your most holy faith. We can argue these points all you want. Bottom line is, what's God's Word say? What does Scripture have to say in this? So I can say, I'm a faith man, I'm a faith man, I'm a faith man. I'm super faith man. Bless God in heaven, all right. James says, go ahead, talk all you want, O vain man. But until you can demonstrate what your faith has produced, your faith is dead. Your faith is dead. You know what works of faith are? It's not refusing to go to the doctor, refusing to take medicine, refusing to wear your glasses or your hearing aid. It's not giving a whole lot of money into the pan. You know what works of faith are? Works of faith are just believing God. That's works of faith. I'm going to show you in just a moment. Believing God. Works of faith are believing that God's Word is your answer. That's a work of faith. Because see, if my faith truly believes God's Word is my answer, then instead of me trying to get out there and prove it through physical things, what I'm going to do is spend time speaking His Word. Because if I believe that His Word is going to change my circumstances, His Word's the answer. Not what I do up here at this altar. What I do up here at this altar should be a product of faith, not the thing to try and produce the faith. Are you catching this? This is what James is saying. He's not saying, look, if you're going to be a man of faith, you've got to do something. He's saying, no, if you're a man of faith, things will happen. The works of that faith are going to be demonstrated. But you know what threw me off in this passage? Look in this again. He starts off in verse 14, and he says, what does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, and be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Even so faith, if it hath not works, being dead, or is dead, being alone. You know, I'm reading this, and I can remember something hit me about this passage. Okay, verse 14, you start talking about faith. Verse 17, you start talking about faith. But what on God's green earth does 15 and 16 have to do with faith? Because to me, if verses 15 and 16, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, and be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Where's my faith in that? If that were to be an example of my faith, it would seem like I would be the one who was hungry and naked and destitute. But it says, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say, depart in peace and be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Where does this fit into faith without works is dead? Where is the faith in that? There's none. I can't see it. I see an example. It's like James just threw this thing in here. It's like, okay, faith without works is dead. Now let me tell you about hungry people. And then, even so, faith without works is dead. But what clued me in, there had to be a connection somewhere, were those two words at the very next verse, verse 17, even so, or in the same fashion, or right along the same line, faith without works is dead. But I still don't know what the connection is. And he said, well, why don't you look over in 1 John? Now, keep in mind these verses we just read, and look over in 1 John. Chapter 3. You're going to see the connection here. Because I'm going to give you a revelation and a key when it comes to living by faith. It's going to mess up a lot of people's lives. Remember what he said. Faith without works is dead. Don't you know that if you have say you have faith but you don't have works, what does it profit or what good is it? I mean, if you have a brother or sister who's naked, destitute, they need food, and you say, depart, be filled, be warm, but you don't give them anything that's needful for their needs, I mean, what good does it do? Even so, faith without works is dead. Now look at what he says here. Verse 16, chapter 3, 1 John. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Or in other words, if you have faith, but no works, what profit is it? Or how can you say, O vain man, that you have faith if your faith is not producing the works? In this context, how can you say that God's love is growing, active, and energetic in your life if you don't do things to minister to people in the same way that God would minister to them? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Same kind of thing James is saying. Do you see the similarities in this? And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. Now look at this. Look at verse 22. He says, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. We do those, whatever we ask. Here, this is a faith. Is this a faith verse or what? Whatever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and we do those things that are pleasing in his sight. We do those things that are pleasing in his sight. We do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. We do those things that are pleasing in his sight. We keep his commandments and we do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Okay, great. What commandments are you talking about here? Very next verse. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave us commandment. So what's the connection in all of this? Because James is talking about faith, and it's like kind of in the middle of this discussion about faith, he throws this thing in about if you see somebody hungry or naked or they're needy and you don't do anything for them, then what profit does it? Even so, faith without works is dead. Or by the same token, or along the same line, you stand up and you talk about the fact that you've got faith, but yet you don't have the product of your faith, which is the works that faith can produce. James is essentially telling us the same thing that John wrote over here. John is saying, look, you can talk about the fact, oh, you love God, you love Jesus, and you love everybody, but I'm telling you that if you don't have the demonstrations of that love, or the product, or the works of God's love coming forth out of your life, how in the world can you stand up and make a declaration that God's love is growing, energetic, and producing? How can you say that you're living a love life if the product, the works of love, isn't being demonstrated? So what's the connection here? What's the connection between this whole thing about love that John wrote that James referred to and this whole thing about faith that James wrote about that John referred to? You don't have to turn to it. You can look at it later on. But it's in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, where it says, faith worketh by love. In other words, now listen to this. You cannot separate your faith walk from your love walk. And you can say, I am a faith man. I am a faith man. Why? I trust God in everything that I do. Well, what about the pastor at your last church? You know, you were telling me some things happened there. You got that resolved? I'll tell you this. I don't care if I ever see that man again a day in my life. I don't want anything to do with him. I don't even want to be in the same room with him after what he did to me and my family. Call himself a man of God. I don't want anything to do with it. What about your neighbors? What about your school teacher? What about your mom and your dad? What about your aunts and your uncles, your grandma, your grandpa, your sister, your brother, your kids? And the list goes on and on and on. Listen very closely. If you are holding unforgiveness, if there are unresolved issues in your life, you have just built a ceiling over your faith life. And you can quote God's word till your tongue dries out and your face turns blue from lack of oxygen. But the fact that you have that unforgiveness operating in your life has become the barrier that keeps God's word from going forth and producing in your life. Look here again what John wrote. He said, look at the first part of verse 24. He that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him. What commandments? That we should believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave commandment. What kind of love is he talking about? John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. This is unconditional love and unconditional forgiveness. And I don't care what they did to you. I don't care what they said to you. I don't care if they raped you, if they murdered your family members. I don't care if they ran over your dog, burned your house down, stole your money. I don't care if they cussed you out, if they fired you without reason. I don't care if the bank swindled and took all of your money. It makes no difference because it was your sin that hung Jesus on that cross. And he says, if God loves you, then with the same love that God loves you, you are expected to love each other. And if you don't, this is why James threw those two little verses in there referring to love. What he was trying to get across to us was, if you're going to have a faith walk, then right along with that, you're going to have a love walk, and it's not going to be something that you have to try and produce. It's just going to happen. Like you won't have to try and produce works of faith. You won't have to try and produce works of love, because if you have a love walk and a faith walk, they're going to produce the works of each other automatically. And you cannot have one without the other. It is absolutely impossible. And so if you're holding unforgiveness, in essence, James was telling you there in those two verses, if you're not demonstrating love, the love of God, you can't demonstrate the faith of God. You can't demonstrate the kind of faith that you say that you have, because you don't love people enough to walk in that faith. You don't love God enough to walk in that faith. And John is essentially saying the same thing. And whatsoever, verse 22, we ask of him, we receive. Whatsoever we ask, we receive. Why? Because not only are we walking in faith, we're walking in the love that causes our faith to work. Verse 24. He that keepeth his commandments, this believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ, he's not telling you to get born again. This is written to people that were born again in spirit filled. He's not saying get born again. He's saying, you need to trust Jesus and everything that God has said. You need to work to develop your relationship with Him. And love one another as He gave commandment. And he that keepeth these commandments, he that keepeth, verse 23, has an intimate relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And hereby we know that He abideth in us by virtue of the fact that He has deposited on the inside of us a new nature that has the same kind of love and the same kind of ability to love as He Himself has, because we're born again. This is how we know we abide in Him. But I'm a faith man because I pray in tongues. If you're holding unforgiveness, I guarantee you one of the things the Holy Ghost is going to do through all that prayer, He's going to say, you better forgive, you better forgive, you better turn it loose, you better let it go, you better not keep holding this thing up over them, because you think you're holding it over them when actually you're holding it over yourself. You're letting them control your life, you're letting them be the Lord of your life because you're choosing to allow what they've done to control how you're living. You haven't forgiven. Forgive them and let it go. Forgive them and let it go. Forgive them and let it go. And the only way you're going to be able to get away from that is to tell the Holy Spirit to shut up. Because love is the reason God made it possible for you to be born again. And this is the very reason that God wants us to be here. It's to demonstrate His love. You cannot be a faith person and not forgive. You cannot be a faith person and hold unforgiveness. You cannot be a faith person if you aren't also a love person. It is impossible. Absolutely impossible. So instead of believing God, more stuff. We say, we're trained to use our faith to believe for more stuff. Do you understand? More stuff is what kids want under the Christmas tree. Little kids, they want more stuff. The greatest work of faith is unconditional love. That's the greatest work of faith. And James is saying, you say you've got faith? You show me your unconditional love. Because that's the work God wants to see. And when you're walking in that kind of love, you're not going to be so worried about what you don't have, about how much more money you'd like to get. When you're walking in that kind of love, all you want is for other people to know the same kind of love. Faith without love is dead. It's dead. If you've got something going on in your life, something somebody's done to you, doesn't matter who it is, until you get past that, you have gone as far as you can go in your faith walk, because God's going to keep on pointing you right back to that person. Right back to that person. What did Jesus say? You bring your gift to the altar, and remember you have aught, your brother has aught against you. What's he talking about? Something that you've done wrong? Well, could be. As long as you're holding unforgiveness towards somebody, you have created ought. Jesus says you better deal with that before you go any further. For some people, this is exactly why their faith, all their confessions, never produces. Because they have not released people in their life who've done them wrong. And until you do that, you have reached the limit of your faith walk. God is saying, let me change that. Come to me and tell me. They did it. This is how I feel about it. Quite frankly, God, I don't even want to forgive. This is how I feel, but according to your word, I know it's wrong. And I need help in this. That's all he needs. That's all he needs. Is for you to say that. Because when you come to that point and you admit something like that, he says, now you've opened the door for me to begin to move in your life because you've admitted to me how you feel. You know it's wrong. And you don't even know if you want it to be changed. But yet, you just want things to be right between us. Now, I can get in there and begin to do this. You know what? When you do that, you're going to be giving Him permission to change your life in such a way to where eventually, through the power of the Holy Spirit, He's going to teach you how to love them and forgive them unconditionally. It may seem impossible right now. It seems pretty impossible to me, though, that Jesus Christ could hang on a cross and say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." It seemed to me like they knew exactly what they were doing. He says, "Forgive them, Father." And took my sin. I wasn't even born yet. And took my sin. Doesn't seem right, does it? That is unconditional love and unconditional forgiveness. So if you want a faith walk, you better have a love walk too. Faith and love, like soup and sandwich. Can't have one without the other. Go ahead and stand up.